The muddy water raged past him with such power the very ground shook. And it was all he could do to stop himself from falling in and being swept to a violent death. And it wasn't just the filthy, swollen river that threatened. The rain hammered him like penny-sized bullets, the wind gusting like the breath of vexed, forgotten gods. But Hiram Kane wasn't. Instead, he was braced on the busted banks of a rampaging river that carried along within its churning, broiling wake an eclectic collection of crumpled cars, twisted fallen trees, wrecked wooden houses, and bodies. Scores of bodies. But not all of them were dead. The gurgled half-screams reached him from all directions and reverberated off the steep cliffs, some with frightening clarity, others a pitiful wail. The pleading voices sounded so close and so many like a tortured choir, but he just couldn't make out from which bobbing, floating bodies the sounds came. Such was the ferocious intensity of the river. He knew he had to act, and fast. There were others around him, more volunteers to aid the rescuers. But panic was the dominating emotion, and not enough was being done, people too afraid or shocked to help. Kane beckoned to a man clutching a rope who seemed frozen to the spot, anxiety crinkling his face. Kane didn't speak much Japanese, aside from basic greetings and asking directions. He could, of course, order a beer. But with a series of frantic hand gestures and an encouraging look, the man understood. Kane grabbed the rope and tied it, first around himself, then the other end to a fallen tree, whose exposed, gnarly roots gave evidence to the storm's mighty strength. Kane believed they would hold and called on the other man to help reel him back in, like some kind of macabre human fishing trip.
"Tazukete! Tazukete!"
came a cry from the river. "Help! Help!" Kane's eyes darted upstream, and scanning the torrents, he caught a flash of red coming towards him amid the churning brown. An instant later, what looked like a red jacket suddenly disappeared. Kane cursed, but kept searching, and after several anxious seconds, it reappeared a dozen yards closer and nearer the bank. This was it. He took a few steps back, and with an uncompromising look at his assistant, both to encourage himself and to make the man accountable, Kane took a running jump as far as he could into the deadly river. The world turned black as he went under, the power and force of the flow greater than he could have imagined. He reached out a long leg, desperate to brace against something solid below. But the river was at its highest level for half a century, its surface a maelstrom 20 feet above normal. A strong swimmer and experienced scuba diver, Kane didn't panic, and with a flurry of powerful strokes, he surfaced several yards upstream, right into the path of the onrushing little girl in red. Snagging her into his arms, her flailing limbs dragged them both under the surface. He choked on mouthfuls of the filthy river as he resisted the immense flow, the air and water expelled in dreadful, gagging spurts. But once again he broke the surface, just as the girl slipped into unconsciousness. The man on the bank had planted his feet and was gamely hauling Kane in with all his strength. Soon joined by another man and woman who had seen what was happening, they pulled. The 30 yards of played-out rope now 20. 15. Now just 5 yards of rope were left, and the man looked into Kane's eyes, wide and hopeful over the frothing water. But then some invisible violence yanked Kane and the girl away yet again, the force of the shift almost wrenching the three helpers into the torrents themselves. In desperation, they managed to wedge themselves among the tangled roots of the ancient tree, and now secure, pulled on the rope as if it were their own child on the end. It was someone's child. Yard by yard, inch by inch, Kane and the girl were hauled to the edge, and after what felt like 10 minutes, but was less than three, the river finally relinquished its death grip, and they were dragged onto the bank, the girl comatose, and Kane gasping for air. The man with the rope looked at the now recovered Kane and smiled. With a slow nod and the barest hint of a grin, Kane stood, and after scanning the troughs and swells of the roaring flash flood for human life, once more launched himself into its violence.